king, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, the king who wasn't following the path of God, and I actually said that it could be related to church situation, where you come into a church and you're in need, and it's like you don't get an answer. You just don't get an answer. You don't get respect. You don't get relationship. You don't get anything from the church. That's what the king was like. The king just said, oh, I've got too much going on in my life. I'm hurting myself. I have no ability to help you right now. And why are you here? Why are you trying to bother me? Naaman walked away, and they said, nah, you need to go to the prophet. The prophet can help you. So Naaman goes to the prophet, and he says, I need to be healed. And the prophet says, okay, that's great. Go wash yourself 7 times in the River Jordan. The prophet didn't come out and see him. The prophet didn't collect any money. The prophet just said, tell the messenger to tell him, go and wash 7 times. And you'll be healed. He didn't like that. In fact, he was quite angry. He needed to be healed. But he didn't like it. And so it said in that verse that I was going to read or did read to you, but Naaman went away angry. Angry. And said, I thought he would surely come out to me, stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? It says, so he turned and went off in a rage. He was angry. And I wrote 3 things down that he was angry with. I'd like to do that. I'd like to tell you, in case somehow you write a note, this is what you would say. He was angry at the situation. He's angry at the situation. He's dying. It's a subtle thing when you get angry at yourself or at the situation in you're dealing with, but it comes. It comes because you're tired. And you don't want it to happen. Why me? Why has this happened to me? All the people out there that haven't done a blessed thing, and I'm the guy that has to put a robe on and hide that I'm bad. Why me? Why now? Why this time in my life? That anger is the anger that the Lord says, don't be angry. Because the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of Christ. When we get angry, we lose something. I know there's some righteous anger, and I love it how Christians, every time they get angry, well, brother, that's just righteous anger. There is so little that is righteous anger out. Most of it's just flat out anger. You kidding me? Why has this happened to me? Why am I in this position? He was upset. The second thing that he got upset with was the cost. He was angry at the cost. You know? What do you mean I have to go to this dirty river and dip myself? I have to take this robe off. So I'm just exposed, and I'm not getting into that he was totally naked. I'm just saying that even on the cross, it says that Jesus hung there. Yeah, he could have had something on him, but there's just something that's just exposed in him at that point. I mean, this man couldn't just stand there like this, and the prophet go whoop, and he goes, wow, I'm healed. No. That's not what was going to happen. So because of that, he wasn't happy at the cost. Why should I have to dip? And why in muddy water? What is this? The hardest thing to talk to somebody that really doesn't follow the Lord or believe is that there's a cost involved. I mean, I've had people say to me, what's this big deal if Jesus had to die? Why couldn't God just forgive everybody? Why did Jesus have to die? You know, in reality, I didn't make the rules. And if I really tried to explain to you, it would be on a theological level, but for the most part, you just go, well, let's just get down to the bottom line. Why? Sometimes we don't know why. We just know it's true.
Amen.
We know that Jesus came During this season, he came to live 30 years and then three more as the Son of God, and also he was the Son of Man. We know that during that time, he was preparing himself and preparing his disciples and those that would follow him for the fact that he needed to die so that they would live. But it was a cost. And Naaman was upset at the cost. You know, this idea, and I save these things for once we're done with the offering. But I want to keep encouraging you about something. The key to giving is a cost. No one said giving 10% of your money is just no problem. You know, it's a cost. And a lot of times we just justify 40 reasons why that cost is invalid. I just can't right now. I've got bills. I've got this. I've got that. And we live in the world of God. I mean, you're rich. I'm not. Do the math. And there's just a frustration that people have about the cost. The cost of what? The cost of being free. And that's where Naaman was. He was angry at the cost. The third thing that he was mad at was God. He was angry at the situation. He was angry at the cost. And he was angry at God. Know anybody angry at God? I think I do. More than one. Anybody ever opens up? A lot of times it's just finally an anger to God. People that have never even followed God. People that have never served Him for a moment. People that would say, I don't even believe in that stuff. As soon as the crisis hits, they're saying, where's God? Why isn't God doing something? I thought you didn't believe Him. Yeah, well, that's beside the point. But even in our own lives, we can get angry at God and not even know it. We get angry because we don't even want to hear that he does something, because we look at our situation and say, why hasn't he done it to me then? Why am I still the way I am? See, Naaman was trying to give a solution to God. You didn't have to have me do that. You didn't have to have me go to the river. You can just wave your hand and I will be healed. That's faith, God. I have faith in you. You can do it right now. And God does heal instantaneously. But I do believe this. Most healing that we need in our emotions do not come on an instant wave or one prayer. It even concerns me. Not in a way. You've got to be careful how I say this. It concerns me sometimes when we just pray against addictions. All addictions are going to go right now. Because what can happen is that person who's battling that addiction goes home and is yet maybe to deal with it in a lot of ways, even chemically. There's things that aren't done yet, and they then fall back and they judge themselves to say, God doesn't care about me. I'm not healed. I blew it. They condemn themselves. So there's something that we need to do in the power of the Spirit, but we need to be always aware that for most emotional healing now, I'm telling you, it's a process. It's not that quick. Because things have been built up in us over years. If I say I want to pray for right now, everyone dealing with rejection, everybody that's ever been rejected, stand up and I'm just going to pray over you right now, and you're going to walk away, and all that rejection is going to be gone. I would love to say that's true, but for the most part, all of us need to deal with why those onion peels are there in the first place and take them off and hear the Spirit. And the cost of that healing is what disturbs us, because we'd rather have it be quick. It's over. But it's not. And so we battle these thoughts. Well, this isn't fair, God. Why am I the one still dealing with this? You see, I believe there's a day, and I believe there's a power of God that's so great that it supernaturally takes over a situation, and people are set free, people are delivered, people are healed. People are no longer battling addictions. I believe all that. And I want that to happen. But I also know that there are times that God says to you, this is how I want to heal you. I want to take you down a road. And on that road, then, you're going to have to take this robe off to be healed. You're going to have to take off the things in you that have protected you, that have secured you, that have made you feel important, that have made you feel secure. I need those off of you because they actually are going to be part of the problem unless you're willing to let go. And you don't do that all at once. And so I want to clarify, you are on a process, you are on a path to His power. And it's a path that in this road that you take, there's healing on every step. Every level of my life, there's been healing. But my process in the ministry has been 40 years. And during those 40 years, I see a change happening in my life that might not have happened had it had been right away. Or it might not have happened had I not gone through some of the things that I went through. I've had to take my robe off so many times. I want a robe of pastorship. I want to be able to say, I'm the pastor, I've got everything together, I'm perfect, and I want you to follow me because I've got it all. Hallelujah. But I don't. And I don't want to declare anything like negative on you, but I want to say to you that every one of us need to learn how to walk the path that the Lord is laying out for us. Because all of us need healed. All of us need to go to another level in our life where the things that at one time would bother us are no longer bothering us. The things that we never saw, prayed, and any answers for, you suddenly start to see those things happen in your life. It's a pursuing of God. And in that pursuit of God, you have to deal with the anger you have about your own situation, the anger that you have about God. And Naaman was not going to get it any other way because that's what he did. He said, if you're not willing to wave your hands over me, I'm gone. Put his robe on, and he started to leave. Somebody said, Naaman, just before you go, I know you're the boss, and I just want you to think about something for a second. What's that? Well, if you go, you die. Yeah, but I don't want to dip myself in a river that's so muddy. And why do I have to do it 7 times? Why can't he just do it? Well, you know, I'm not God. But if you leave Naaman, you have no hope. Naaman was a smart man. And he said, maybe I'll go. With that, I want to talk now about what seems to be a point that I'm seeing out of the story. God loved Naaman. You know, he wasn't some illustrative point, someone that, you know, no name, Naaman, yeah, some guy that was in Aram, and that wasn't even a godly nation. And God just wanted to use an example. He loved Naaman. He loved Naaman so much that he placed a servant girl in Naaman's life, who Naaman just thought was someone they captured and was going to serve him the rest and serve his wife. But God sovereignly put a little girl, a servant girl, in Naaman's path because he wanted Naaman to be healed. And then he took him to a servant of God, Elijah, who said, it's not about me, it's about him. I want you to understand, Naaman, I'm not even going to come and visit you. I'm not even going to be the one, not because I wouldn't want to touch you, but I don't want any of this glory to go to me. I want it all to go to God. So this is the path I want you to take. The true church is not seeking glory. It's seeking results. It's not about a one-man show, no matter who the one man is. There's not a person in this church that is that invaluable that if they were to walk away, we would be in trouble. I've been told that for 27 years. If I leave, the church is going to fall apart. We're still here. You're not here because you're important in that sense. You're here because God wants to use your love to touch somebody else's life. He wants to infuse in you the ability. That person that had not, you know, it wasn't like the servant girl said, hey, you just need to believe right now. All she said was, I'm going to take you to where there's healing. So God put this little girl with a heart of love for a man that was her boss, into the path. All of us, please listen to me on this. All of you have come across somebody that needs to hear it, a desperation in their voice, in their heart. And you say, well, I don't have all those answers. I don't even know what to say to them. You can say enough to help them to go to the path of Jesus Christ. I want you to know how to answer people. I would hope that in time we could have a core of people that would be raised up to do that very thing, and you're one of them, because there's no one here that's special than anybody else. But I want you to understand that whatever part you play in love is an impact in somebody else's life. Even if it's been a long-term solution, seemingly, where you're just stuck in this environment, or that person seems to be always in their struggle, there is a way that you can be used to help them be free. And God loves them so much that He wants them to be free. For God so loved the entire world that He gave His Son. Not His favorites. The entire world. And so this situation is revealing the heart of God. And I'm going to read some verses to you. I'm going to have you go to just look up at the board. And I'm going to read you these verses from the Old Testament. This heart of God that we're celebrating at Christmas. You know, we say we're not going to take Jesus out of Christmas. But do we take Jesus out of Christmas anyway? Do we have so many things that we are so busy with and do that, you know, it's even a chore to be in church because there's just so much going on and so much family and so much decorating and so much this. Is He first because you say Merry Christmas? Or is He first because He's real to you? It's His birthday that we celebrate. It's His life that we honor. And this is what He came to do. The first is Isaiah 40. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? Talking about God. Isaiah saying, who's measured this waters? By the way, anybody see the moon this morning? Oh, it was a monster. It was so huge. And I was like, wow, what a God. I mean, He just made the moon. It was, that was great. Anyway. Or with the breath of His hand, marked off the heavens. Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket? Or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills and the balance? Who has understood the mind of the Lord or instructed Him as His counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten Him? And who taught Him the right way? I'm going to stop there. See, what Naaman didn't understand in the beginning was, it was God. No one else was going to be able to help Naaman. There was no specialist, no doctors. There's a point that all of us have to reach where if God doesn't do it, it's not going to happen. All the counselors, all the systems, they're wonderful and points to take us where we need to go. But somewhere deep inside, we've got to recognize it's God that has the answer to my need. It's God that can set me free. It's God's power. He did create the heavens and the earth. He measured it all out. He's such a powerful God who so lovingly, so much, loved me, loves you. The Father heart of God. That's why He wants us to call Him Father. Because He loves you. That God said, I want you to take your robe off and dip 7 times. If we don't respect who He is, that He has something special, you know, little ones, not my grandchildren, they're perfect in all their ways. But little children, sometimes you can just see them when you say, don't do that. Or go ahead, I need you to take this over there. No. What you mean, no? I don't want to take it. Oh, we're going to have a talk. Right? But you see in their heart this little obstinance of, no, I have a better way. No, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm right. And sometimes we can be just like that little child saying, God, you can do this, but you need to do it this way. No, I'm not going to do it. No, no, if that's what it means, no, I'm not going to do it. I can't. And we miss the powerful healing of Almighty God. The next verse, it's Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. This is what He said to us. He said, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. See, Naaman had to measure, do I want healed more than I want to be vulnerable, glamorous, exposed? Am I willing to take off this robe and be exposed for who I am in order to be healed? First of all, you have to believe that this Father loves me so much that he would do that for me. That he is not a respecter of persons. That his love is so great that he sent his Son this season. And I know it's not really this season, but we celebrate it. This season of the year, he sends his Son. And we honor that because he wanted me healed. He wanted me delivered. And he wasn't going to make it a whole bunch of rules and regulations that I had to do. He just wanted me to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him and say, come in and take over. That's what he wants from me. That's what he said would set me free. That's what he said would give me eternal life. But it's not just about my eternity. He said, I am doing a new thing in you now. Because every one of you were built with a purpose and destiny to be good. And to walk in a right path and to help people and to minister and reach out and impact people's lives, which is deep inside of you. This impact is there. I see it when people go places and they sense that they've been an impact in somebody. I see it in how people share. You know, I talk to somebody and they listen to me. We want to be an impact. And this verse is saying that God is set. He's set in his heart to do that in my life. In Philippians, it says the exact same thing. Forget those things which are behind and reach for those things which are before you. In other words, he said, I am wanting you to take off this robe because this robe represents who you have been. And I want to cleanse that. I want to take it free. And we put that robe on and say, no, I can't let people know who I am. I can't do this. That's a cost. I'd have to do work for that. And God is saying, no, it's those very things that are robbing you of who you were meant to be. And I have made you in my image. He said he made us in his image. Not the way I look. I'm not God in the way I look. But it's that his character was placed in our lives. That's why when you do a pay forward, that's why when you do give something, it actually does feel good. Not because you're such a... Oh, it's because I'm so great. No. It's because you start to operate the kingdom principle. You start to believe and accept that it might cost me something, but the reward is I'm giving of myself right now. I'm blessing somebody else. You have to weigh that out. Third verse, 44:22. He said that I've swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Do you notice not one time did anybody complain, hey, Naaman, who do you think you are? You probably have killed people. You don't deserve to be cleansed. You don't deserve to be healed. You don't deserve anything. Were there not people in Israel that had leprosy? You think it was cleansed? You think no one had leprosy in Israel? Of course they did. Why would God pick a man, a leader, a warrior who has killed people from another country? Because God so loved the world. And his plan for the world was so complete, it wasn't a matter of what they've done. It's a matter of who he is. It's not a question of what's happened in your past that would separate you from the kingdom, that would separate you from this relationship that I talk about. It's a question of, are you willing to believe God would love you so much, you, despite all you, enough to do it? To go there, though, you have to take the robe off, the robe that you have that protects you from all these people. You have to be vulnerable to the living God. You have to trust him. The last verse. You have heard these things. Look at them all. Will you not admit them? And that's up to context, but let me get to this part right here. From now on, I will tell you of new things, of hidden things unknown to you. We have to be careful how we talk sometimes, especially me. Now I'll say phrases that maybe, well, the Lord was speaking to me, and maybe in your mind you're going, the Lord speaks to you. I never heard God speak. We have to be careful how we say things because in truth, all of us have the ability to hear God. All of us. You just don't know that you're hearing. All of you have a plan and a destiny that God has made up for you. You say, yeah, but I've wasted a third of my life. I've wasted half my life. I've wasted two-thirds of my life. It doesn't matter to him. The beauty of the kingdom is no matter where you are, he wants you. He stands at the door and he knocks because he wants you. He wants this relationship. The plans that he has for you in your future, no matter what age you are greater than you could ever dream. But in your head, you're going, I don't know about that. Is it worth the cost? Is it something I want to do? And people choose, no, I don't believe that. Sadly, again, I just heard the other day, I heard two guys talking. they just don't have any idea what they're saying. But the one guy said to the other guy, you know what? You're in hell with me, so what's the difference? Do they understand what hell is? No. They don't have any idea. God so loved the world that he gave his son so that they wouldn't have to go there. They look at you like you're some kind of alien, and you say, I know a way. He's made a way. I say, nah, yeah, right. So what do we do? What do? They go back, they put the robe on, they act like everything's fine, they make their jokes, they do their thing, but at the end of the day, they take that robe off, and they go to bed, and they say, it's not worth it. Life isn't worth it. Now, I know the world says that. Do we? Do we ever go to bed and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've given me? Thank you for another day. Thank you for what lies ahead. Thank you that your plan for me is so good, I don't even know what it is. Can you trust him enough to believe that what you have already experienced is not the end of your journey? And no matter what your resume has been in your past, he's got a future because he loves you. Can you believe that kind of God? In our minds, probably not. It takes something in your heart. It takes a point where you accept in your heart, your feeling, your emotion, this is real, and I want it. I don't understand it. I don't even know what it means, but I need it. I need that kind of salvation. I need that purpose, that destiny, even as a Christian. I need what he has to offer. Sometimes we want a clean heart. But we want little obligation on our part. I'm going to take you, as I close, to John 21 without turning there or even looking at the screen. Just trust me with what I say. When Jesus had earlier said to Peter, three times, Peter, you're going to deny me in front of men. Peter just didn't say, I'm not sure I know him. Does he go around here? He didn't do that. He declared full volume, I had no idea who he was. He was full of fear. And the third time he said that he swore. He didn't swear in the sense of us understanding swear. He said, if I know him, may I die. Aren't you glad all of what we say isn't always held accountable?
Amen.
You'll say, oh, you can't say that. It has to happen now. You put it in the atmosphere. Well, then Peter's dead. Because he said, if I know him, then kill me. But that's how adamant he was. But then that's how crushed he was. See, he went from believing he was super qualified to believing he had no qualification. It only takes one thing in your life sometimes to believe that. Some event, some situation that makes you feel unqualified to be anything else now. So you're just going to ride the wave. And you're going to put your robe on and protect yourself. And here's God saying, I want you to take that robe off, Peter, because I still have a purpose for you. I told you that this would happen. I told you to pray. But I told you as well, I would stand with you and never let you go, Peter. And so when Peter came to the fire, what happened? Three times the Lord said to him, Peter, do you love me? And three times Peter had to answer. Now on the surface, in front of everybody else, that had to bother Peter. Peter was a man who knew his position. He thought he was like the head honcho. He got mad at John for sitting at the right hand. You know, I'm Peter. And here's Peter at that point having to say three times, yes, I love you. Now, the significance of that is the same significance that I'll talk about next week with the seven dips. The significance is every time he said, yes, I love you, a part of what the enemy had struggled on him and controlled him with, the condemnation, the fault, the guilt, the sin, it broke away. Not because of the lack of the blood. I'm talking now about in my life, most everything I have is a layer. And everything I do, going towards him and obeying his voice, starts to strip away all those things from the past. You see, this is that tricky part I was talking about. God can do anything he wants and he can make all things new. But when he said, I am making you into a new creation, it was a process. It was never sudden. He said, I am making you into a new creation. The Greek there is very clear that it's a process. He says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So I am saying to all of you that every step you take, God calls you to fast. and you start fasting, and you're hungry as you can possibly be, and everybody seems to be enjoying their food right around you. And you're looking at it like, they don't even know. I'm fasting. If you can believe that every time you do that, every time you obey God in whatever area, in your tithes and offerings, in your fasting, in your service to Him, the things that were done here, it takes another part away of what the enemy has seemingly had that would kill you. It takes it away. And every part starts to separate yourself from the past. Yes, He's cleansed you. Peter was secure from the moment he turned to Jesus. But that part of him, his soulish nature, his flesh that needed to be redeemed out of the way, it was being stripped from him one step at a time. And every time he said, I love you. Of course I love you. Don't you know that I love you? Was a stripping away of him saying, I don't have any idea who he is. You see, it's not like you're paying for your sins, but you're becoming vulnerable. You're taking off the robe to be free. No one's going to know what that robe is but you. No one can dictate you. Well, you just need to do this. Take 10 steps, walk around the block, and shout hallelujah, and God heals you. Wish it was that easy. I wish it was just some sort of a formula that I could say to you that would just translate into everybody just getting it. But it's different for each one of us. If someone would have came to Naaman and said, Naaman says, listen, some guy told me I have to dip 7 times in order to be healed. Oh, no, you don't have to do that. Abraham goes to somebody and says, God said I had to put my son on an altar. Oh, God would never have you do that. What is he asking of me? What is he asking of you? Is it so horrible? No. But you got to take your robe off. You got to be vulnerable. You got to be willing to say, I trust you and not me. And I'm going to be real. That's why you fast. That's why you give. It's things that cause you to take off what you protect. And you say, I got to trust you. That's why you come forward. That's why you cry. That's why I cry all the time. Because I want my tears to heal my soul. I want to be cleansed. My resume is no different than yours. Because he said, every sin's the same. We're in some sort of a bondage when we think somebody's sin is worse than somebody else's. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But he's calling you today to come back to him. And the way that he might ask you to take that roadblock, you can either get angry with him and say, that's not right, or you can let it go. So again, I give you this invitation as we close. If you've never done that, never made a decision, I invite you to. How hard is it? Not hard at all. It's submitting yourself. It's taking your robe off and being free. He has a plan for you. Let him have it. Give it to him. For the rest of you, what do you still hold on to? Why isn't he everything? What part of the robe are you still holding on to? It's holding you back from the greatness of God. We just stand. The challenge of my heart for 2018 has already started. I no longer want to preach so that you will love me. I want to preach because I love you. That's my theme. That's my prayer. I want to see you free. I want to see you done. The Lord bless you and keep you. And make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and grant you his peace. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. That you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If God spoke to you, I'm going to stay up here. Come on up and tell me what he said.